from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. And in this Forum segment, we're going to turn our attention to another proposition, Proposition 24, which will appear on the state's November ballot. The Tax Fairness Act would repeal a number of business tax breaks that business interests argue helps businesses and keeps job numbers intact. While opponents of the measure are strongly convinced that passage could lose up to 140,000 jobs and be a virtual job tax. We take up the debate in this half hour, and Lenny Goldberg is joining us. He's on the pro side, executive director of California Tax Reform Association, supporter of Prop 24, and he joins us from Sacramento. Good morning, Lenny Goldberg.
Good morning, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. We also have Tim Valderrama with us in studio. He's California Executive Director of TechNet, a bipartisan political network of CEOs in opposition to Prop 24. And welcome to the program, Tim Valderrama.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Lenny Goldberg, we begin with the pro side first. Why repeal these tax breaks?
Well, these tax breaks were done in the dead of night without any discussion, and in fact, they were done so badly and so poorly that they are an embarrassment to the state of California in terms of tax policy. What was once a reasonably good corporation tax looked at around the country as fair and reasonable now has such gaping loopholes put in by the tax provisions that are repealed by 24 that people can manipulate the tax system endlessly. The other reason to repeal it, and this is a unique initiative because it just repeals this very bad decision by the legislature. It does not say that going forward we can't change tax policy. Unlike most initiative, it ties no later hands, but it says these are so bad they deserve to be repealed. And what that means, these are loopholes that went in permanently, but have not yet even taken place. They have not gone into effect. So here we are in a $19 billion budget crisis, about to give huge tax cuts to corporations. They haven't started yet. They're not part of the corporate tax base. We've been moving along with where we are in our tax system. We have a huge deficit. We made temporary taxes on ordinary people, and instead we've put in permanent tax loopholes with no scrutiny that totally deserve to be repealed. And I assume we'll have enough time to explain it, but let me just give you one piece of this. It gives major multinational and multi-state corporations the choice every year as to how much income they want to attribute to California. This is an embarrassment. It's called, the opponents say, oh, single sales factor, that's a good thing. Well, this is not single sales factor. This is an election, a choice every year about whether you want to use one formula for attributing income to California or another. So if you have a lot of losses, you will be able to attribute more income to California, and then you can roll those losses against your income from future and from past years. That's another big mistake we made. But the that gets repealed in Prop 24. But if you have a lot of income in a particular year, you choose a formula that attributes less income to California. So heads you win no matter what. That is just an embarrassing bad tax policy that needs to be repealed.
Well, embarrassment notwithstanding, the opponents say that these tax breaks attract and grow businesses and also provide jobs. That is at least one of the central arguments. And you're saying that they lose jobs? How do they?
Here's the irony of elective single sales factor. You know, that you can have an argument about whether or not by telling out-of-state corporations that they'll get a benefit from investing in California and in-state corporations will get a benefit from staying in California. That's an argument to have. But this doesn't do that. That's why the opponents are trying to confuse it. This says if you're out-of-state, you don't have any you have every incentive to stay out-of-state so as to not increase your tax liability. And if you're in-state, you get to choose and can stay in state. So all of the argument about this so-called tax incentive has to do with benefiting, with giving an incentive to out-of-state companies to invest in California. This just doesn't do that. So what we end up doing is losing billions of dollars every year with no incentive effect. And here's another one that's in there. This allows you to roll back. If you take a loss in a given year, you can get a refund for taxes you paid 2 years ago. Now, that's not an incentive. You made your decisions. You've calculated your dollars. You can carry your losses forward if you make a new investment. But if this had been, this is repealed by Prop 24, it had never even had a hearing in the legislature because it's such bad and destabilizing policy. But here's what would have happened. And if this had been in place previously, Countrywide and WaMu, who paid their tax, made a lot of money in 2006 in the subprime market, paid their tax, would have paid their taxes. In 2008, when they went belly up, the state, in deep, deep financial trouble, would have been forced to write them refund checks for the taxes they already paid. It has nothing to do with an incentive. It has to do with a dead loss to the California economy and a dead loss to the California
budget. Dead loss to the economy means, as you see it, getting back to my original question, a loss of jobs.
Well, a loss of jobs, a loss of public sector dollars, an increasing budget crisis in the public sector, which has a lot to do with the jobs in California.
And again, Lenny Goldberg is executive director of the California Tax Reform Association and a supporter of Prop 24. In opposition to Prop 24 is Tim Valderrama, who's here with us in studio. He's California executive director of TechNet. They're a bipartisan political network of CEOs who oppose Prop 24 and oppose it. Why, Tim Valderrama?
We're opposed. It's quite simple, actually. We're opposed because, Mr. Goldberg skirted the question a little bit, but this initiative will cost California jobs. At a time when 2 million Californians are out of work, Prop 24 literally taxes new job creation. It hits California employers, major employers and small businesses with higher taxes, and it stifles job growth in our most promising industries.
Also, Lenny Goldberg said this was done in the dead of the night, and is corporate loopholes that make for really relative inequity where taxpayers are concerned. Can you address that?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is that loopholes insinuates that this is something that was unintentional and that businesses will take advantage of, which is clearly not the case. This was a reform that was passed by the legislature on a broad bipartisan front. They did have hearings. These policies have been around for years. A lot of them have been debated since the early 90s. They've been proven to work in other states. A lot of them are used on the federal side. And so it's just not true that it was kind of this dead of night deal that led to a dead of night deal that basically we didn't have a legislative hearing, which is patently false.
Well, the proponents are also saying that corporations have to pay their fair share and that this was not only done in the dead of night, but that you've got $1.3 billion now that could be made up as a result of these going into effect, which, as Lenny Goldberg said, have not gone into effect yet. In fact, David Sanchez, who is head of the American Federation of Teachers, said that this could save the schools. You have the revenue to save the schools. I guess the argument of those of you on the opposing side is even if you generated more revenue, it doesn't necessarily ensure the fact that it's going to go to the schools, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I would also say that revenue doesn't just kind of magically appear, right? I mean, properly funding our schools and our hospitals, roads, and other vital services, it's directly dependent upon California's ability to grow jobs and to have a positive business environment. Proposition 24 is kind of a short-sighted gimmick that repeals the very reforms we need to regenerate our economy. And Proposition 24, its passage will ensure that state and local deficits will remain.
Let me open the phone lines. Those of you who are listening may want to weigh in on this proposition. You have questions, then certainly bring them to the fore here. We welcome your phone calls. You can call us now. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Again, please feel free to call us and let us know what you think about this proposition or ask any questions you may have. It's toll-free. 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, lend your voice to this program and join the conversation by emailing us. Our email address is forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Tim Valderrama, tell us a little bit about which of these there are actually three we're talking about. We want to get listeners aware of these three business or corporate tax
incentives.
I'm hunting for the word, but we'll use your word, incentives. Fine. Which is the one that is most inviolable or that's most really valuable where business is concerned and most necessary?
You know what? That's an interesting point. All three are very important. TechNet is a trade association that represents big tech companies that are major employers that you would traditionally think of, but also smaller startups in the kind of clean and green tech sector, and the three different ones affect different businesses.
Well, Lenny Goldberg mentioned two and kind of took them on as being, again, inequitable.
Sure. So the single sales factor that he brings up, the return to the three-factor apportionment formula, which would happen under Proposition 24, goes back to a system where you actually tax job creation. For every new job that you create in California, you pay extra taxes. Also, for any new facility you build in California, you pay extra taxes. 24 states across the nation have begun repealing or have repealed measures that do the same thing. And it's a kind of a nationwide trend where people are realizing that it makes no sense to tax job creation and expansion.
But there's a sense of a choice, Lenny Goldberg said, of how much income you want to distribute out-of-state people actually having the incentive to stay out-of-state?
Yeah, you notice that nobody who opposes Prop 24 will ever speak to the issue of elective single sales factor. That is the choice. And that sounds like jargon to people, so let me be clear. It gives you the choice of how much, if you're multi-state, multinational, it gives you the choice of how much income to attribute to California. Now, also notice you have to be multi-state or multinational. So if you're a startup in the state of California, you get nothing from this. If you're a small business in the state of California, you get nothing from this. The only way you could get something from it, which is ironic, is if you move out of state or if you put a new subsidiary out of state, then you can play the manipulative games that this total mistake of the legislature and the governor done in the dark of night. There was never a hearing. And in fact, since then, we've had hearings on elective single sales. Not one person, not one industry, not one special interest has been able to get up in public.
Mr. Valderrama said there was bipartisan support, Lenny. You dispute that.
It was part of a mid-of-night budget deal. The state of California, this was in February, when we were going over the cliff, right? And we passed temporary taxes on ordinary people as part of that very deal. And what we did instead was give this really huge, this was February 09, this huge, mistaken, ill-conceived, embarrassing tax loophole that allows endless manipulation year after year, how much I want to attribute to California, only to the largest multinationals. The California Budget Project did a study and showed that it's only a handful of corporations. There is also, very uniquely here, because when we do these budget things, when we do these tax deals, we say, we have to evaluate the number of jobs that are created, and we sunset if it doesn't create jobs. There is not a requirement that a single job be created. So as a result, the biggest supporters of this are NBC Universal, which gets a huge tax windfall, Disney, which gets a huge tax windfall, CBS, which gets a huge tax windfall. These are like big tax windfall for media companies who every year are multinational, multi-state.
Lenny Goldberg, let me jump in here because I want to get a response from Tim Valderrama, and I want to get to our callers. But let's cut to the chase here, Tim Valderrama. Elective single sales factor. Small businesses aren't being helped. He said that elective single sales factor, which sounds a bit jargonish, admittedly, is never addressed.
Yeah, so I would say that argument might be relevant if the initiative was about mandatory versus elective single sales factor, and that's a conversation we can have. Unfortunately, the initiative doesn't deal with that issue. It completely wipes out single sales factor, which is actually a tax provision.
You're saying it's a red herring in this?
I think it is. And single sales factor is a tax provision that the state's nonpartisan legislative analyst's office has said numerous times California needs to adopt to remain competitive.
How do small businesses get helped by this?
So small businesses are helped by the net operating loss provisions that are contained also within this. Any business that is carrying a loss from year to year, in our industry, it's a lot of kind of clean tech and biotech startups. You look at, they will carry losses for 10, 12 years before they ever make a profit. It's pretty well-established tax policy that once you start making a profit, you don't want to hit a company with a huge tax liability the second they start turning a profit. So the net operating losses allow you to carry those over from years ahead.
All right, let me find out what our listeners have to say. And Travis, you're first up. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know, that Goldberg said that just these big companies were making a big profit. Are those the only ones that are just raking in right now? And then are they going to be the ones that are adversely affected by this?
Let me ask you that question to you, Tim Valderrama.
No, it's we have a number of small businesses that are opposed to no on 24. Large businesses, do benefit for some of the provisions, but they are major employers. But I will tell you, the Franchise Tax Board has said that this initiative will negatively impact 120,000 businesses in California.
Lenny Goldberg.
Well, the only way you can take advantage of the hugest break in here, which is $1 billion, is on elective single sales, is if you're multi-state or multinational. And the California Budget Project looked at this, and there is most of the benefits, the vast majority of benefits, go to a handful of very large corporations. The cost of elective single sales, Tim is wrong. This would repeal elective single sales. You can come back to the legislature and have a discussion of single sales. And the legislative analyst said to repeal elective version, and that turns out they didn't think it cost so much. It costs between $850 and $1 billion of the total cost of this initiative. So wipe out that manipulative mistake, which Tim can, as you noticed, cannot defend, and go back and have a real discussion in the legislature. And if single sales is so good, it'll pass.
All right, we go to more of your calls, and we'll welcome Sharon from Pleasanton. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Hi there, guys at Forum. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm seriously wondering, why don't we make a brand new subset here with initiating those brand new jobs that we need with brand new business models, and then put a sunset window on it to offer the same thing going forward as we're offering corporations. And at the same time, we'll bring more new jobs to California instead of losing those new jobs that are leaving California. We got to remember, California is number 7 in the world in economy. Let's not forget that.
All right. Thank you for that suggestion. We'll let it stand, and we'll go to another caller here. Gabrielle, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, fine.
Hi there. So I have to say that someone who's purporting to be representing CEOs and supporting job growth, to me that just seems sort of like a contradiction in terms. We live in an enormous corporatocracy where the first expense that these large corporations seem to be willing to expend is their people. I've been laid off twice. One was a large tech company who is probably on the list of supporters of the no on this. And it just seems like in any discussion where you're talking about job growth, it seems completely disingenuous for CEOs to be purporting to be representing the people.
And let me hear from you on that, Tim Valderrama.
I would just say I feel sorry for the caller and having lost their job. Unfortunately, that's happened to far too many people in California. One thing certain is passage of Proposition 24 will result in more job losses. In fact, the Rose Institute just released a study that estimates somewhere between 150,000 and 322,000 jobs will be lost if Prop 24 passes.
Can you address that, Lenny Goldberg?
Yeah, I read that study. It just pulls those numbers pretty much out of thin air because it says all these corporations that are putting millions of dollars like Disney and NBC Universal into this proposition are going to add all these jobs. Well, we don't see it. They will make their decision about California irrespective of this measure. Prop 24, one other thing that Tim said that was wrong is that we allow, this does not repeal loss carry forward. Anybody makes a new investment, they carry over their losses against their profits, and that's what we've been doing for years. What this does do is allow banks and others that have made big money and then take losses to get a refund, just as we have to fund vital services. This measure, none of this has taken effect yet. These have not taken effect. So we can say, look, we got a huge budget crisis, and in fact, the legislature is considering suspending these. They know that why would we give big corporate tax cuts that go into effect permanently in a time when we're in a huge budget crisis, particularly since they are so ill-conceived that they allow endless manipulation of the tax system by major multinational corporations. So 24 does not cut off any discussion that can go on about what's good tax policy. It eliminates bad tax policy done in the dead of night.
Tim Valderrama, we come back to that point again about bad tax policy, embarrassing, Lenny Goldberg calls it, done in the dead of night.
I would say to Mr. Goldberg, with all due respect, the legislature can amend any of this stuff on their own. I mean, they chose to pass it with broad bipartisan support, as I said. If they feel at this time that anything in what they passed is objectionable, they have all the authority in the world to go back and change those. We don't need an initiative to do that.
Other than the Rose Report, though, how do you convince us that this job loss would be inevitable?
You know, we see it in other states. 24 other states, as I said earlier, have adopted measures similar to these, and that's how the Rose Report got its numbers, is they looked at other states and what other states have been doing, and they have noticed an increase in jobs, and they think that will transfer to California, and we agree with them.
And again, Tim Valderrama is California Executive Director of TechNet. I'm sorry, go ahead, Lenny Goldberg.
Actually, no other states have done this. Missouri has had elective single sales and has had job decline in industry and everything for many, many years. All the other states you're talking about, none of them have elective single sales, precisely because the alleged benefits, and I say alleged, but, you know, you look at other states, alleged benefits of the single sales factor have to do with encouraging out-of-state companies to invest in California. Well, with the election, they have no incentive to do that. So we've done a so-called economic incentive policy that we've completely cut off the economic incentive, and it's nothing but a giveaway.
You are listening to Forum. We're talking with Lenny Goldberg again, who is Executive Director of California Tax Reform Association and a supporter of Proposition 24, and Tim Valderrama, who is California Executive Director of TechNet. They're a bipartisan political network of CEOs who are opposed to Proposition 24, and this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll bring in a caller this time from Richmond. Mary, hi.
Hi. I have read a lot of flyers, political flyers, and trying to get me to vote for this and that. And what I keep hearing in those flyers, what I'm hearing today from the CEO guy, sorry, I forgot your name.
It's Tim Valderrama.
Thanks, Tim.
No, that was Michael, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. So what I always hear, and I find it really offensive, is that when people are against cutting taxes for the wealthy, they always use this threat. It feels like a threat. If you vote for this, you're going to lose more jobs. If you vote for this, we're going to run away with our jobs, and you're going to suffer. I just find it offensive, and I wish that people who actually genuinely believe this point of view could explain clearly and succinctly and honestly how that's going to happen. How are we going to lose more jobs if we change our tax policy?
Tim Valderrama, I think that's to you. And again, let's talk about this perhaps just from a logical standpoint, because I think that's your argument, isn't it?
Sure. I think the best way to explain this is that California already has a pretty bad business climate, and more when other states are adopting the same types of measures that the California legislature has recently adopted in its wisdom, it makes places outside of California a much more attractive place to do business. Some of our major companies, the ones that were founded here that started in the Silicon Valley, they're not probably picking up and leaving, but they do want to expand, and they continually expand. And when they do that, it makes absolutely no sense for them to expand into California.
Business climate bad here? Jobs will be lost, Lenny Goldberg?
Well, I'm old, Michael, so let me tell you a story. In 1975, the big California Business Roundtable said California's business climate is 47th out of the 48 states. And then we had an incredible world-class explosion of Silicon Valley. We had biotechnology. We had the dot-com boom. Somehow this business climate always called by business to be 40. 47th out of 48th in the 1970s turned out to explode worldwide. So all I can do is look at history. And, you know, our business climate, there are regulatory issues, I think. There are, I would totally agree there are changes that could be made in the tax system. But this Prop 24 repeals exactly the wrong changes that were made in the tax system that were pushed in by special interests, major Hollywood interests, in fact, and a time when ordinary taxpayers were being taxed temporarily. They put these permanent loopholes in. So take it back, start again. I would perfectly say there, and I've had these conversations with the high-tech guys, there are changes in the tax system that would be beneficial all around and not harm the budget the way this is. These are stupid changes, embarrassing changes in the tax system that should be repealed, and we'll go back and do it again.
Let me go to a couple of emails here before we call it a day as far as Prop 24. Richard writes, I'm confused. Does Prop 24 really negatively impact small businesses or just major companies? I think that seems to be where you two are crossing swords here. Tim Valderrama?
Yeah. As I said before, the Franchise Tax Board estimates 120,000 businesses will be impacted. And a lot of those are small businesses. The net operating loss provisions that this initiative attacks are very important to small businesses, from, you know, clean tech startups all the way to your mom and pop hardware store.
Let me read a few more emails here. Jordan says, I won't take it from a group of CEOs that some tax costs jobs. They say that to everything, and as best I can tell, they're the ones that cost jobs by shipping them overseas. Another listener, Rick from Palo Alto, says multinational corporations are being characterized as the enemy here. Let us not forget where most of all our jobs come from. Even the pampered SEIU workers would have nothing if these major employers were to disappear. Let's get real here. And another listener, Mark from Point Reyes, says, as a small business owner who last year had its first profitable result in a decade, current California law did not let me carry forward our loss in 2009, and we were forced to pay a large tax. There is a promise that one day our losses can be accounted for, but we'll never recover that paid tax. That'll have to end it because we have come to the end of the segment. But now it's up to you, the listeners and voters, to decide on Prop 24. I want to extend thanks to our guests, Lenny Goldberg, Executive Director of the California Tax Reform Association, supporter of Prop 24, and Tim Valderrama, California Executive Director of TechNet, a bipartisan political network of CEOs in opposition to Prop 24. Thank you both, and thank you, our listeners. And another hour of forum coming your way. In the hour ahead, we're going to find out all about youth radio, which is a real phenomenon, and actually hear some of the stories that youth radio has put together. I want to remind you that we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. And we always remind you that you can let us know what you think about what you hear on forum by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or calling our listener call-in response line at 415-553-3300. Our thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Tina Lauberg, and to our interns, Nadia Reed, Elena Cadavani, and Aiden Stone, and our engineer, Danny Bringer. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.